take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter 14, we'll read verses 22 through 32 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 32. Matthew 14, 22 through 32. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And let's finish up on verse 32 together. Ready? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for this place. Lord, today we gather hundreds and hundreds in this room with so many different needs and so many different burdens. Yet, we have one God and one book. Thank you for our preacher that will come and preach that book about our God. Fill him with your power, please. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and change our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Earlier, with Brother Bush's help, you read from Matthew chapter 14. Story, when Jesus comes to Peter, he'd been walking on the water, and then Peter walks out to meet Jesus. I want to tell you the story again, and I want you to ask yourself, do you trust God? Do you trust God? In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 31, it says, And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Here's the story. Jesus tells his disciples to get into a ship. They're to get into that ship without him. They're to meet him on the other shore. Then Jesus goes off alone. He's about to go out and pray. The evening comes. The disciples are on this ship. A storm arises. They have not arrived on the other shore yet. And a storm comes. There are heavy winds and there are powerful waves. The ship is being tossed to and fro. I'm sure the ship begins to fill with some water, and it's scary and it's dark, and they're afraid. Suddenly, here comes Jesus, and he is walking on the water. He's walking on the sea. Now, when they saw him at first, they were troubled, and they wondered, is this really Jesus? Looks like him, but it's dark right now. It looks like him, but it's loud, and I can hardly hear. It looks like him, but the clouds have dimmed my sight. It looks like him, but the wind is blowing. It looks like him, but the waves are ferocious. It looks like him. They said, maybe it's his spirit. But then Jesus, while standing on the water, said, it's really me. He said, cheer up, relax. Don't be afraid. Now you have to picture it. They're on the ship. They're probably holding on in fear that the winds and the waves are going to throw them overboard. And Jesus is, I don't think that the sea is calm where he stands. I'm going to imagine Jesus is going up and down on these waves. But he is standing there, and he is standing on the water. And Peter said, well, if it's really you, then let me walk to you. Now, I do not understand
all of Peter's thinking. You just look at Peter all the way through the Bible. He's always got something up his sleeve. One day he hacks a guy's ear off. Peter's the only guy I know in history that liked to cut people's ears off. But he did that. Other times, Peter was the kind of guy that, you know, took his foot and stuck it in his mouth on a regular basis. Now, why in the world, when they're scared to death and they're afraid they're going to sink and they're afraid they're going to drown and they're on the sea, and one of my fears of the sea is sharks. I should have never seen that show called Jaws. I don't like to go out too far in the bathtub in fear that there could be sharks in the deep water. But here Peter says, I mean, out of all things, the very first thing he says is, come on, let me come out there. He was a thrill seeker, I guess. He was a very adventurous kind of a person. So Peter says, if it's really you. Now, my question is, if it wasn't Jesus, Peter was going to be in a lot of trouble quick. I mean, had he calculated that into the possibilities? He said, if it be you, which meant I'm wondering if he is, you know, decimating, that is Jesus, looks like him, I think that's him, it talks like him. But what was Peter going to do if it was not Jesus? Well, he wasn't going to do much because he was going to sink. And that would have been it. I don't think anybody would have jumped in to save him because they would have said, stupid Peter, you're always doing stuff like that. Just let him drown. I can see it now. But he says, if it's you, Lord, let me come to you. Jesus said, come. Matthew 14:29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hey, Peter is actually walking on the water. I do not know how he tested the water. You know, if you got hot water or cold water and you want to stick your toe in to see what it's like, I don't know if Peter put one toe in to see if the water was stable. I don't, if being Peter, you know, he might have done a double somersault into the water and landed flat on his feet. I do not know how he did it, but I do know this. He stepped off that boat and he began to walk on the water to where Jesus was. Now, he didn't walk very long, but I'm going to tell you something. I have a very difficult time criticizing him a lot about it because he's walked further than I ever walked on the water. And I've got a hunch he's walked further on the water than you have walked on the water. And Peter holds the all-time water walking record in history. But the Bible says, after taking some steps, he begins to sink. It says in verse number 30 of Matthew 14, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So Peter's walking on the water. He begins to sink, and he cries out to the Lord and said, Lord, save me. I'm sinking. The Bible says in Matthew 14:31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So Peter begins to sink. He cries out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches forth his hand, grabs a hold of Peter, and Jesus saves Peter from sinking and drowning. But the Lord then asked Peter a couple of questions. He said, "Oh," he makes this statement, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's basically the title of my sermon this morning. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Or, why do you doubt God? Why do you doubt God? Jesus asking, Peter, why'd you doubt me? Why'd you doubt me? I don't think the fact that Peter began to sink was such a big deal to Jesus. I think it was Peter's lack of faith in Jesus that probably was heavy on our Lord's heart. Why'd you doubt me, Peter? Why'd you change your mind about my ability, Peter? Why'd you lose your faith in me, Peter? Why'd you stop trusting me like that, Peter? Why'd you weaken your belief in me, Peter? The way the Lord put it is, wherefore didst thou doubt? Maybe we should all ask ourselves this question, because I think we're all guilty of it from time to time. Don't we all have our moments when we just don't trust Him? We lose our faith. We somehow weaken our belief that He can take care of us and meet our needs. Why do we doubt Him? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here God said, you've got to have faith if you're going to please me. And you know something? I want to please him. I think you want to please him. That means we're going to have to do it by faith. That means we have a spiritual struggle on our hands. And what is it? It's having faith in God. It's trusting God. But we've got to trust him if we're going to please him. So I want to please him. You want to please him. We're going to have to be careful that we don't go around doubting him. You know, what I'm about to say, it almost sounds like maybe a cheap cop-out. Maybe it'll sound like a weak recommendation. But you know, there are some of you are in a situation, I can't solve your problem. You can't figure out how to solve your problem. It looks like you just need to trust God. Now, it would be easy for us to say, yeah, that's easy to say. Okay, maybe it is, but I'm going to tell you something. This is not a weak recommendation. Trust God. Trust God. Don't doubt him. And I know we say, but that's so simple. My problem is far more complicated than that. There is no problem more complicated than the solution of trust God. All the other solutions are the complicated ones. This is a big one. Trust God. I wish I could solve all the problems of all the people that come to me. I can't. I want to. I desire to solve the problem. And some I can. Some I can solve. Some I can give a certain amount of direction. But I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us at one time or another, or many times in our life, are going to face something. And the answer to your dilemma is this. You need it. Just trust God. You just need to trust God. And so, it may seem like a shallow recommendation. It may seem like a cheap cop-out. That's just something that the preacher says when he doesn't know what else to say. You know how we are. Somebody gives us a problem, you say, let's pray about it. Well, yeah, but we're saying, I need more than that. Listen, I can't give you a higher recommendation or a more stable recommendation than just trust God. Trust him. About 11:30 last evening, my wife and I were retiring for the night. We had not turned out the lights in our bedroom yet, and all of a sudden it began to flicker. And I thought she was playing with the light switch, because she does things like that. And I looked over, and she was not at the light switch. And then I thought immediately of Casper, the friendly ghost, and I thought, no, I don't believe in Casper. And our lights flickered again, and then bang, they went out. And I noticed it was not just the lights in our room. I would have thought we would have burned out a light bulb, but it was other lights. And then we looked outside, and there were a lot of lights out, and the furnace stopped working, and we lost all of our power. I thought it was a good time to be humorous. Probably wasn't the best time for it, I discovered. My wife said, honey, you need to go do something. And I'm thinking, what? I can't climb the electric pole. I can't go steal one of those trucks with a bucket. And if the pole's broken, I don't have an extra telephone pole around. But, you know, I could go see if the neighbors would lend me one, and maybe I could get it done here in a few hours or days or months. I said, honey, I'm going to sleep. Now, I didn't even get out of bed. I just laid there. She said, there was something wrong. I said, yeah. I said, I'll see you in the morning. So, Brother Owens, what'd you do? Exactly what I just told you. I don't know. She may have tossed and turned all night. I tucked under those blankets because I knew we didn't have a furnace, and I knew it was a little cold. And I thought, I'll see you in the morning. I'm going to breathe all the hot air right underneath this blanket. And going to have my own little heater in here. You want to get up and go run around and use up your body heat, you go ahead, but I'm staying right under here. Well, the morning came, and I got up and looked around, and all the lights were still out, and no power, and it was a little nippy in the house. You could see your breath. Especially morning breath. Sometimes you can see your breath when it's not cold in your house. Oh, and you know, surely, of course, it's always a little more frustrating to a lady when there's no water or electricity for your curling iron and, you know, all that sort of important stuff. And then, you know, the fear of, you need to shower every once in a while, you know, whether you feel like you need it or not. And the thought that you'll smell bad, the suggestion of using my hunting cover scent was not good enough. But all that. And you know something that happened? It's funny. We were just about ready to walk out the door, and the power comes back on. Now, I will be real honest with you. There would have been, years ago, some panic in me when something like that would have happened. But I just laid my head on my pillow and went to sleep. And this is what I said. There's not a thing I can do about it. I think I'll get a good night's rest. We'll wake up tomorrow morning, and we'll see what we face. And you know what happened? In the night, it got fixed. Let me tell you all something. You're going to face some things in your life, and you can't fix it. But you can be dead sure you have a Heavenly Father that has the power to get things up and running in your life. And if I could recommend something to you, there are sometimes the things that you cannot fix, He can. Rest assured and know your God is capable and able. And you know something? He's constantly doing things for us anyway. Just like this situation with the power at our house, or when the thing that I could do about it, I went ahead and went about my business and did what I could, and I left it into the hands of the professionals. And I think some of us need to realize our God is a professional. He is constantly solving problems for you anyway. Think about all those times you thought, are we going to make it? Can we take it? You made it. Boy, if we could get on video the way sometimes some of us act at the moment of the fear, whatever it is that we face, and then realize hours or days or weeks later, we could look back and say, oh my, I cannot believe I had so little faith. But I'm going to guess that everybody in here made it. I don't know if I can take it. From the looks of all of you, you took it. I don't know if I can handle it. You must have handled it. Why in the world then do we doubt Him? But it is something we face. It's a reality. You know, He is constantly doing things behind the scenes, fixing things for us. And even when we don't believe, He still fixes us up. But the Lord says to Peter, Peter, why did you doubt? And I want to talk to you about that for a little while. Hey, let me tell on us. Let me tell on us human beings on why we doubt Him, why I doubt Him at times, and why you doubt Him at times. Wherefore dost thou doubt Him? Wait, we doubt Him for some wrong reasons, I think. For instance, do you doubt Him because He has broken a promise to you at some time in the past? The Bible says in Psalm 77:8, is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? What the Bible's saying here is, you have no reason to doubt Him in regard to, well, His record shows He's broken a promise to me, so I can't trust Him. I'm sorry, my friend. The Lord's never broken any promise. He's never broken any promise. So if for some reason we say, well, I don't trust Him because He broke a promise to me, that's not true. That is not true. He's true to His Word and His Bible. His book is full of His promises. There's an old saying, you can go to the bank on it. You all heard that old saying, you can go to the bank on it. That meant, listen, someone's given their Word and you can just trust it without fail. Now, let me tell you something. God has given His Word, and you can trust Him without fail. Hey, if He said it, you can trust it. Now, man, we break our promises to each other. I don't think we should. I do not think we should. But God never breaks His promises. Never does. God promised that there would be a virgin-born Messiah. You know what happened? There was a virgin-born Messiah. Look, if God ever promises something, but it's never happened before, that does not mean that God can't do it.
Right.
I'm sure there were some people when the Old Testament book of Isaiah and other Old Testament passages predicted that one day a Son of God would be born. He would be virgin born. He would be the Savior of the world. He'd be the Messiah. I'm sure when the Old Testament predicted that that was going to happen, there are all sorts of people that said, "What? Come on. That's never happened before." Well, you know something? Nothing ever happened before God made it happen the first time. Just another occurrence in the creation of a God that can do anything. Ah, come on! You want us to believe that a child's going to be born of a virgin? A woman that's never had a physical relationship with a man? Come on! He promised it was going to happen. And it happened. It happened. Everybody that doubted it, they had to eat their words. They had to eat some crow. Because if God promised it, it's going to happen. Why do we doubt Him? Should we doubt Him because He's a promise breaker? No, He's not a promise breaker. It is predicted. It was prophesied that not only would this Christ child be born of the Virgin, but there would come a point in His life after having lived a perfect, sinless life, He would be crucified and put to death for you and for me. Now, somebody might have said, "Oh, never heard of such. How could someone living in a body of flesh live a perfect, sinless life? Oh, come on. It's never been done." Now, let me tell you something. If God promised it, you can go to the bank on it. He promised a virgin-born son. We received a virgin-born son. He promised a sinless Christ. We received a sinless Christ. He promised that Christ would die for us. And we received a Christ that died for us. Look, if He promised it, He's going to make it happen. And so when you and I look at our doubts, if we say, "Well, I doubt Him because He's a promise breaker," then we're not being honest with ourselves. He has never broken a promise. Hey, you know what else He promised? That Christ, being virgin-born, that will live 33 and a half sinless years, who will die for your sin and my sin, will be put in a grave. I mean, dead, not partially dead, not a little dead, all the way dead. He will get up out of that grave. And someone said, "Oh, come on now. We're really pushing the ticket here. Coming up out of the grave, He promised." Guess what we received? A resurrected Savior. So let's be careful when we ask ourselves this question. Why do we doubt Him? Well, do I doubt Him because He breaks His promises? Well, He's never broken one before. Hey, listen, let's be careful. Do we doubt Him because man has tampered with our trust? Boy, this is so true. We don't trust Him because of what some man has done. We don't trust Him because of what some woman has done. What a father has done, or a mother, or a brother, or a sister, or a friend, or a husband, or a wife. But wait a minute. It is not fair that you don't trust God because some human being broke their promise to you. See, Brother Owens, when we stood at the wedding altar, we promised one another our loyalty. And my husband broke the promise. And I'm having a hard time trusting God. Now, the only way that would be valid is if it were Jesus Christ that you married. But it was not. And had you, He would have kept His promise. Why do we not trust Him because a human being broke their promise to us? That's not fair to God. That's unfair to God. Do not doubt God because man has tampered with your trust. Someone said, for the Owens, we've had relatives promise, and relatives that we would love to have in our home, and we'd love to have them come and visit us and visit our church, and they promise and promise they're going to come, and they don't come. I just have a hard time believing God. Listen to me now. Because our families let us down, that doesn't mean God is untrustworthy. But because we're so close to humans, and we're so distant from what God is, we seem to think that the way people treat us is the way God's going to treat us. But wait a minute, God and people are two totally different categories, if you will. Sometimes we doubt Him because we doubt people. But that's unfair to God. So why? Why do we doubt Him? Peter, the Lord said, Peter, why? Wherefore dost thou doubt me? Why did you doubt me, Peter? We say, well, because you broke the promise. And the Lord said, no, I'm very sorry. I've never broken a promise to you. Every promise I've ever made, every promise in that book, I've made it and I've kept it. And let me tell you something, folks. He promised that He is coming again. You may sit there and you may say, well, I'll come on. That's never been done before. Hey, it hasn't come yet. That's a good word, yet, but it's coming. It is going to happen. I don't know when. It might be today, but He promised it. It's going to happen. Why do we doubt Him? Is whatever it is that He wants of you, whatever you face, is it beyond His ability to perform? Is that why you doubt Him? Do you doubt Him because He's not big enough? Now, this first one, we doubt Him because He doesn't keep His promises, as you can see. That's not a good excuse. Do you doubt Him because you wonder if His hands are strong enough to catch you? Well, wait a minute. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse number 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. You know what that means? That means if you journey into the greatness of God and you're searching for the end of it, you'll never find the end of His greatness because it does not end. The Bible says that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The Bible teaches us we have a great God. Do we doubt Him because we think what we face is beyond His capability? Is God asking you to do something that He is unable to help you do? I guess not. Listen, the God that created the universe, how is it He had the strength and the ability to create the universe, but we can't trust Him for one occurrence in a human life? He created all the human beings. He created all the stars and all the planets. He created it all. Is His hand limited? Why don't we trust Him? Why don't we trust Him? Well, we could say, well, I worry about anybody break their promises. Well, He's never broken a promise. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, I just don't. Is He big enough to perform? Oh, He's big enough to perform. That's not a good excuse. Is God asking you to do something for Him that you don't think He's able to help you? Listen, I wonder if for a moment when God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark, and that ark is going to weather the storm and it's going to rain and we're going to have two of every kind of an animal on that ark. I wonder if for a moment Noah didn't say, boy, I don't know if I can do this. But God said, Noah, I'm not going to ask you to do it by yourself. You and I are going to do it. And you know something? Together they did it. The job was not too big. And you listen to me. God is never going to give you a job to do for Him that He will not enable you to do. And so if you're looking at something that God is asking of you, or a challenge that you face, God didn't give it to you to do by yourself. God gave it to you to do with Him. And if you have Him, it's doable. And so don't doubt God. Don't doubt God, because God's able. Whatever you face, God's able. Hey, Joshua, in the Battle of Jericho, are you able? Well, he must be able. Everything turned out okay, but he did it with God. Look at Moses and the leading of the children of Israel. Moses was a little fearful to lead the children of Israel against Pharaoh. Moses said, I have a speech impediment. I am not confident in my leadership. And God said, I'm going to help you and you can do what you need to do. Listen, folks, our God can do anything that our God chooses to do. Let's not doubt him. Let's not doubt him. He's not a promise breaker. Let's not doubt him. He is great enough to do whatever he chooses to do. Hey, has he asked you to face something and you don't think he'll provide you the strength to face it? Listen, man made a statement to me when I was a young preacher, and I'm so glad I heard it. I'm a country boy. I grew up, my house was just a block. I lived in the city, but my house was a block from the stockyards, cornfields everywhere. I remember when I left that little community, I went off to Bible college up near Chicago. I was scared. It was big to me. I wasn't used to it. I remember many years later being offered a position as one of the assistant pastors of the world's largest Sunday school, a church that would run 20,000 people on a Sunday morning. I remember being offered a job in that great big organization. I'll be honest, I was afraid because I'm nothing but a country boy. I'm just a dumb country boy. And I remember a man, his name was Jim Wirtz, and he said this to me. He said, Jeff, God equips who God calls. God equips who God calls. He was trying to say to me, look, if God wants you to do it, then God's going to help you do it. God will give you the ability to do it. Listen, folks, don't doubt God. If there's something God wants of you, if there's something God wants to use you to do, if there's something God wants you to face, God is going to equip you with what you need to succeed. God's hand's not shortened. God's able. Let's not doubt Him. Do you doubt Him because He has changed? Well, I'm trying to figure out, why do we doubt Him? Well, first of all, we might say, well, I doubt anybody that breaks their promises. Well, you can't doubt God then because He never breaks His promises. Well, I would doubt someone if I did not have confidence that they could fulfill whatever it is that they want done. Now, wait a minute. God can do anything, so that's not a good reason to doubt Him. Maybe we say, well, I doubt Him in fear that I can't predict Him. Has God changed? You know, if somebody is constantly changing what they are, it is difficult to predict them. So it's difficult to trust them. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know something? The Lord said, now I'm going to give you something here, God said. I am not going to change. I am going to be God, and I'll be the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And you're not going to have to worry about waking up one morning and saying, ah, who are you? And you say, well, I'm the new God. I'm a part of the new generation. God said, when you see me, I'm going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, because I don't want you to be scared. I want you to know who you're depending on. I want you to know you can go to the bank on what I am. I am the same. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, God has not become unpredictable. Look, God's never broken a promise to you. Why don't you trust Him? God is able to do whatever it is God needs to do, so He has the power to do anything. Why don't we trust Him? God is not unpredictable. God has not changed. Why don't we trust Him? Hey, is God stable? Is God stable? Well, sure He is. My God is a rock. He's a rock. He's a rock. He's not changed. Is God being influenced by society? Is God changing to go with the times? No, He's not. He has not been influenced by society. He's the same God He has always been. Now listen, I'll tell you something. I watch preachers. They believe one thing one day, and you know, a year later they're believing something else, and then something else, and they change this, and then they change that. Look, I'm telling you, we ought to be taking all the sin out of our life we can, and I believe in that kind of change, but I believe in the same old-fashioned gospel music I've always believed in. I believe in the same old King James Bible I always believed in. I believe in the same standards and the same convictions I always believed in. I believe in the same soul winning I always believed in. That brings stability. There is somebody sitting in this congregation today that in years gone by sat in a church where a pastor stood up and said, well, I used to believe this. I want you all to know I've changed my mind. I now believe this. And it was the opposite of what they used to believe. And the congregation went, which way do you go? Who do you believe? What do you believe? I'll tell you what. Do you want to take the sermons that I preached when I was a teenage boy and get one on tape? You know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear me preaching the very same doctrine, the very same truths, the very same things, the very same Bible that I preach now as a 45-year-old pastor. And that brings stability. Stability. You know what? There are people in this building. You need to find out what the Bible teaches, believe what the Bible teaches, and don't change. Don't change. Now listen, why don't we trust God? Does He not keep His promises? No, He keeps all of His promises. Is He weak and unable to do what needs to be done? No, our God can do anything. Is He unpredictable? Is He unstable? Is He a changing God? Nope. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, I guess we can't use those excuses then about why we don't trust God. Why don't we trust Him? Hey, maybe it's this. Maybe we don't trust Him because we have let Him down so much that we have a deep sense of guilt. And that guilt hinders our faith. I think we're probably getting somewhere here now. You let Him down so much, you have a hard time believing that He could want to be trustworthy for you. You hear that? You have let Him down so much that you have a hard time believing that He would want to be trustworthy for you. Why? Because you've not been trustworthy for Him. But listen to me, folks. You're wrong. The character of God never changes. Us human beings, when we let somebody else down, we get this idea, now they're probably going to let us down because we let them down. But wait a minute. God's not a human being. God's character does not change because you let Him down. God can be trusted even when you don't deserve it.
Right.
You get that? God can be trusted even when you don't deserve it. And praise God for that. Because we'd all be in a mess.
Yeah, sure.
You know what happens to us? We let Him down so much, we get this idea that we don't deserve to have a trustworthy God. But wait a minute. What you and I deserve has nothing to do with the character of God. He is trustworthy. You can trust Him. If I let Him down today, I can trust Him tomorrow. Now, He may not be able to trust me much, and you may not be able to trust me, and I may not be able to trust you, but we can always trust God. He said, I am God. I change not. Look, He's kept every promise. He has all power. He's very predictable. He's never changed. And we let Him down, and then we get to thinking that, well, why should we be able to trust Him? He can't trust us. He said, I'm not like you. I'm trustworthy all the time. And I say to you, just trust Him. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Hey, do you not trust Him? Do you doubt Him? Have your trials been so long and hard, you're kind of just tired of fighting the good fight? And I think people do that. I think we start doubting Him because of our trials, our tribulations, and our hardships. They're the ones I just feel like I'm constantly fighting to keep my head above water. I just feel like I go from problem to problem to problem. Maybe you don't want to trust anymore. Maybe you don't want to believe anymore. See, it's work to keep your chin up sometimes, Brother Owens. Listen to me, folks. It may be work, but the alternative is far worse. If you're here today and you're not saved, you say, if I get saved and I trust Jesus Christ, will all my problems melt away? No. If you heard some preacher tell you that, he's full of prunes. No, you'll still have problems, but you won't face them alone. You'll have an inner strength. You're going to have something that you never had before. You say, well, I just don't feel like I want to trust anymore. Hey, the alternative is very depressing. The alternative is far worse than what you face right now. And I think sometimes we don't trust Him because you say, I'm weary. I'm tired of carrying the burden. I'm tired of carrying the heartache. And I just don't know if I want to believe. Your flesh is saying to you, do it yourself. Your flesh is saying, we don't need that anymore. It's not working. I'm telling you, it's dangerous to try the alternative. It's dangerous to try to do it on your own. Maybe you don't want to have a good attitude during the tough times. Yeah, there's something expected of us. As Christians, we are taught when we go through tough times, we don't go through it alone, and we need to learn to get a smile on our face. As Christians, you might say, well, I don't want to have a good attitude during the trials anymore. I don't want to have a good spirit during the battles. I don't want a good outlook during the dark times. I don't want to have courage when others are discouraged. Now listen to me. If you're there, I'd catch that thing before it gets away from you. You catch it right there. You know, sometimes our attitudes can get so bad, we say, I don't want to anymore. I just don't want to. Listen to me. Your God keeps His promises. Your God is the victor. He's the overcomer. There's no problem so big that God can't solve it. Your God is the one that is most apt to make you a success in your life and help you to overcome. Don't get the attitude, I just don't want. I just don't want. You are pushing away your success. So what do? Well, we let Him down. We get to thinking that we don't deserve to have a trustworthy God because we let Him down. But He's still trustworthy. What happens to us? We suddenly get under the pressure of the battles of life, and sometimes we say, I just don't think I want to go that route anymore. Hey, don't lose your confidence in God. Don't lose your faith in God. What are the root causes of our lack of faith in God? Maybe it's because we've become too self-confident. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence in the flesh." You know what happens to us? Sometimes we get too confident of ourselves. Maybe even too confident of ourselves spiritually. I can remember something. I remember my daughter, Charlotta, who's off at Bible college right now. I remember when she was, she might have been 9 or 10 years old. She wanted to drive. Her brothers were learning to drive. I remember one day she said, "Hey, I want to drive." I didn't want her to drive. I thought, no, there's some time to drive. So she's sitting there one day. I said, "All right, take the steering wheel. We're going up the road." She grabbed that steering wheel, so confident. We started to come to a turn. Another car started coming. She said, "Daddy, take the wheel. Take the wheel." I said, "No, you drive." "No, Daddy, take the wheel. Daddy, take the wheel. You got to take the wheel right now. Please take the wheel. No, you go ahead and drive. You want to drive?" "I don't want to drive." You know what happens to some of us? We almost become spiritually arrogant. "Okay, God, I've been in the church so long, I don't need to live by faith. I'm so spiritually intelligent. God, you can depend on me. Let me have the wheel. Let me make the decisions of my life. I do not have to live by faith. I do not have to trust you. Let me have the wheel." But I'll tell you what's going to happen to some of you. You are going to find yourself saying to God, "Oh, take the wheel. Take the wheel. Take the wheel." It doesn't have to be that way. You can just go ahead and let Him have the steering wheel of your life, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been in the church. You never become spiritually educated enough that you no longer need to live by faith. Listen to that. You never become spiritually educated enough that you no longer need to live by faith. "I just know so much about the church and so much about God and so much about doctrine. I just know so much. I don't have to live by faith. I can live by my own knowledge." That's dangerous. That's humanistic. You never have all the answers. You never know it all. You always need God. And I think sometimes we doubt Him because we become overconfident in ourselves, and that in itself is doubting God. Sometimes we want to live by sight instead of by faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Most people don't really, truly want to live by faith. You know, what happens to us is we want to see. We'd like for people to believe we live by faith, but we want to see. We've got to make sure we can see where God's taking us. You know, your faith is most proven during the dark times when you can't see. Look, everybody in here says, yeah, I just got faith that God's going to take care of me financially. The people, Brother Brett, I'm going to turn this on for a second. The people that say that are the ones you have money in the bank, your house payment's made, you've got food, you've got gas, and you've got everything you need. I just believe God's going to take care of me. Why do you believe that? Because you have money. I just believe. No, you see that God's taking care of you. Your faith will be more proven when your wallet's empty. There's some people in here, you will not live by faith. You won't do it. And I'm not just talking about financially. You will not let your success get out of your sight. I'm not going any further than what I can see. I will not step beyond what I can see for God. Oh, I believe we'll live by faith. You don't live by faith. You live by sight. Most people don't truly want to live by faith. Our faith is proven in the dark. And I'll tell you how some of you can know it. You live by sight so much that the minute you're put in the dark on something, you freak out. You panic. Had you been living by faith all along, when the dark time came, you said, I'll just keep following the one I've been following by faith. It's dark, but I know who I'm following. But you weren't. You were living by sight. Why do we doubt Him? Well, we doubt Him because we become overly spiritually confident. We doubt Him because we want to live by sight. And then all of a sudden the lights get flipped out, like happened to us last night. The lights get flipped out. Mrs. Owen said, how am I going to run my curling iron? I said, I don't know. Let's ask Mary how she got ready for church back at the time of her and Joseph. It seemed like it would be funnier than it was this morning. Oh, what happens to us? We want to live by faith. Sometimes our guilt hinders our faith. We doubt. Sometimes we weary because we've been fighting the good fight of faith so long we almost weary ourselves. Say, I don't want to fight this way anymore. We lose. We become too confident and we lose our confidence in the Lord. Well, we want to live by sight. Hey, we take our eyes off the Lord. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says we're to look. Again, we want to live by sight, but the Bible says we are to live by sight, but our sight is to be fixed on Him. See, when you can't see your way in the darkness of life, you're to keep your eyes on the one who can see. See, for those, I do not see my way out of this mess. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He sees the way through the wilderness. Say, nobody can tell me how to get out of this mess. Nobody can tell me how to solve my problem. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He knows exactly what you need. The church made it so that I could take a hunting trip. We went into Ohio. My son Jeff and I, and the bow season had opened up, and we drove through the night. It took us about six and a half hours to get there. We had church here that night. Got in the car. I think, Jeff, we probably arrived 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We were out in the wilderness. There were woods everywhere. And we'd never gone to the tree stands before. We'd never been in these woods before. We'd never even been in this county before. We had no idea where we were. We got there, laid down for about 45 minutes, woke up, and the guy said, let me show you guys where you're going to hunt. It's going to take us a little while to get there. We went way back in there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. At first I thought, you know what? I'll remember that little branch on that tree because I want to be able to get out of here. And then I thought, well, there's another branch, just like that last branch. I'm going to have to remember that branch. Now look at those leaves. They all look the same. Finally, it occurred to me, you know what I need to do? I'm going to keep my eye on the guide. I'm going to let him take me exactly where I need to go. It was as dark as it could be. It was very, very dark. It was very, very deep into the woods. And I finally said, I'm just following him. I'm not going to look at all the trees. I'm not going to look at all of that, the branches and the leaves. I'm keeping my eyes on my guide. You know something? That's exactly what you and I are supposed to do in life. You just need to get your eyes on Jesus and keep them on Jesus, or you'll have yourself confused. I went up and sat in my tree for a while, and a wonderful thing happened. The sun came up, and I could see. In the night, I could not see, so I kept my eyes on the guide. When the sun came up and the light was there, I found my way out of the woods. I did. I was able to find my way out of the woods. I needed to follow him while it was dark, and he gave me the strength to see when he wanted me to see, and he provided the light. Some of us need to learn to just watch him, keep your eyes on him. Hey, why is it we doubt him? Why is it we doubt him? Should you doubt him because he's a promise breaker? He is not. Should you doubt him because he has put something upon you or something has come upon him that he does not have the ability to perform? No. Great is the Lord. Should you doubt him because you face something and you say, but Brother Owens, I've never faced this before. Look, God can help you through whatever you face. Should you doubt him because he has changed and he's unpredictable and untrustworthy? No, he's not changed. I'll tell you why we doubt him. We doubt him because we let him down enough. We wonder if he's still trustworthy because of our failures. Our failures have nothing to do with his character. When you're failing, he's still trustworthy. You see, Brother Owens, I've faced this burden so long, I kind of just want to throw in the towel. Don't do that. But sometimes we can weary ourselves, and we say, I want to have faith, but I'm having a hard time because I've been carrying burdens for a long time. Listen to me. Just listen to me. Don't throw in the towel. Because I'll promise you, when you say, I just decided I don't want to go through this with God, then going through it without God will be 10 times more devastating than going through it with God. We become too self-confident. We're too spiritually educated. We've been in the church so long, we know how to make all of our decisions. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody becomes spiritually educated enough that they don't need to live by faith. We want to live by sight. We don't keep our eyes on the Lord. Are you saved today? If you're not born again, I think you ought to get saved. Why do you doubt him for salvation? You planning on doing it yourself? If I were you, I wouldn't trust yourself. You ought to know yourself well enough. You can't trust yourself to save yourself, but you can trust him. Maybe you want to let another human being save you. I wouldn't trust another human being with my soul. I'd trust the Lord. Maybe you want to come up with your own way of doing things. Listen. There is no way to get saved except for his way, and that's through him, and he is trustworthy. Any person that's ever come to him and asked for salvation, he gave it to him. He's not lost to one of them. He's trustworthy. Peter was out there on that ship. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. Peter says, let me come to you. And he said, come on. Peter stepped out, started walking. He lost his faith, and the Lord said, why? Why'd you doubt me? Why'd you doubt me? I think the same reason that you and I doubt, probably some of the same reasons Peter doubted. But I started this whole sermon by saying this. Sometimes the only advice I can give someone seems so generic. Seems so simple. Seems so shallow. It is so big. It is so incredible. It is so trustworthy. Say, what's the advice? Trust God. Just trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.